God is in this place and Spirit is moving. Wherever the Word of God is expounded, I really do believe the Spirit of God is moving. Okay, so we're continuing a series on the topic of Parakletos, Helper, or the Holy Spirit. And today is the fourth message, and it is about Parakletos who gives life to all people. If you're a believer, he needs to give you life every single day. If you are not a believer, you just don't know who Jesus is, and you don't have Holy Spirit in you, it is only the work of Holy Spirit you could come to life. He is the giver of life. He is the one. To the unbelieving souls, he's the one who revives dead person to life. Who could do that? Only God could do that, right? I can't do that. I don't think D.L. Moody could do that. I don't think John MacArthur could do that. Only God could do that, right? That's a divine work. In other words, to those God has chosen, he gives life to them so that you may come from death to life. That's the work of Holy Spirit. And I pray that that'll happen today. Okay? It is the work of the Lord. Only God could bring life to the dead. And also for the believers, if you are a believer who has been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, and that's what it means to be a believer, and you are walking and obeying and led by the Spirit, every day you need to be rejuvenated, empowered by the Spirit. Otherwise, there is no life in you, right? There is Holy Spirit, but there is no life in you. Romans 5:5 says, he's the one who pours his love upon your soul. He's the one who pours love. That is not a small drip of like thing coming down from above. Pours love, right? He's the one who abides so that you will remain in him forever. Last five weeks, we've been talking about Parakletos, and there are five very special passages in John chapter 14, 15, and 16 about Parakletos. And those of you who are joining for the first time, we are still the night before Jesus went to the cross. So we'll be spending a year, just about a year, on Thursday night of Jesus' Passion Week. And if you remember, the first message a few weeks ago about Parakletos is John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. Jesus said, he is the helper and the Spirit who dwells with you and in you forever. That's a huge statement. I think that doctrine that taught by Jesus need to be understood by the church. So many people say, do we lose our salvation? Do we not lose our salvation? Romans' gospel and John's gospel clearly says, when you are truly regenerated by the Spirit of God, and when the Holy Spirit comes upon a believer, he is with you and in you forever, and he is the Spirit of truth. 2 weeks ago, same chapter, chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus taught that Parakletos is the Spirit of God who teaches all things and help you remember all that Jesus have taught. Very important work of Holy Spirit, right? Otherwise, you remember the wrong things all throughout your life. He is the Spirit of truth. How do you discern what is the truth and what is not? And Pastor June mentioned about, Pastor Tim mentioned about so many different teaching and doctrines and divisions. How do you discern? It is the Spirit of God and the truth, because he is the Spirit of truth. And last week, in 15th chapter, I am the vine, you are the branches chapter, Parakletos bears witness about Jesus. If you wonder whether that is the work of Holy Spirit or not, I think you need to ask one question. Is this glorify Christ, or is it glorifies something else? Is it within the domain and the boundary of the scripture, which is written by the Holy Spirit, by the way, inspiration? Is it within the scripture? So last week, Parakletos, he's the one who bears witness about Jesus, and he makes Christians to be the witness of Jesus. That is no small statement. In fact, as we go through this farewell discourse of Jesus, I think a lot of things become clear. Do you agree? So many things become so clear in my heart, in my soul as well. And today, I think this is one of the most important ministry of Holy Spirit, Parakletos convicts the souls. Okay, what does that word mean? I'm going to explain a little later more extensively, but the word means basically two things in the Bible. One is to convict, and the other is to convince. It's a little different, isn't it? Convict is more like declare and pronounce your sinfulness. It's a judicial expression. You are a sinner before the Lord. There's no good in you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And you may be thinking, wow, that's a bad thing. No, it isn't. Because Holy Spirit, if he convicts you now, you will live. But at the final judgment, when Jesus convicts you, which we will see in the scripture, there is no more salvation. Do you understand that? So it is the work of the Holy Spirit to convict of your sin and righteousness and judgment. That's the work of Holy Spirit. Not so much about other things. It's about sin, righteousness, and judgment. And let me give you a hint. All three topics, as we will see in today's text, it centers around Christ. Did you know that? It's amazing because Holy Spirit Parakletos is the Spirit of Jesus who testifies, who bear witness about Jesus. And the other meaning of that word convict is convince that you are guilty. Therefore, the Holy Spirit summons you to repentance. Why? Because that's the only way to live. That's the only way to live. Okay? So that's today's message. And last question before we get into the text. What is the motive and what is the reason that Holy Spirit Parakletos convicts the believers and the children of God? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. Right? Because God is love and God loves his children. And only the children will experience the conviction of the Holy Spirit Parakletos. Okay? So that as an introduction, I want to jump right into today's text. We're dealing with fourth Parakletos passage in John's Gospel. We're still the night before his death, and Jesus is only with his 11 disciples. And starting from chapter 13, I just want to walk through chapter 13, Jesus expressed his deep love for the disciples. He washed the feet of the disciples. Do you remember that? Which is a menial task of a lowest of the lowest slave. He washed the feet of disciples, and he expressed his agape, endless love toward them. And chapter 14, he promises great things. Among others, Parakletos. Holy Spirit will come and will be with you and in you forever. He dwells in you forever. Chapter 15, I think the mood changes a little bit. He's about to leave, and he begins to talk about the world. Do you remember that? The world will hate you. World will hate you. They will persecute you. And then he said, it's not because they hate you. It's because they hate me. I want us to know, Christians, if the world loves you, Jesus said, that means you belong to them. Jesus said in John chapter 15, the world will hate you. In that context, Jesus said, I will send the Holy Spirit and he will bear witness to the hating world. That's the context. And you will be also testifying and being a witness to this hating world. And now we move on to 16th chapter, today's text. And then it gets even worse. Okay, what does Jesus say? He again says, it's going to get worse. I've said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. And indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you, Christians, disciples, will think that he's offering service to God. And that's pretty bad if you think about it. You'll be excommunicated, ex-synagogued, which means at the time, Judaism and the synagogue is the center of their entire social structure, which means your jobs, finances, relationships, just about everything, you'll be an outcast, ostracized. Of course, your salvation and your worship. That's pretty bad, right? Not only that, they'll kill you. Did that happen? Yes, it did, actually. You're going to see in Acts chapter 8, the great persecution breaks out and they kill Christians. And that killing of a Christian continues to today. You know that, right? Not so much in America, but all over the world. It is true. Let's not be naive. What Jesus predicted, it's true. It's coming to true. They hate Christians and they hate because they hate Christ. In this context, today's passage, Jesus spoke. Okay? They're going to hate you. They're going to kill you. Nevertheless, that's the context. Nevertheless, because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. That's the context. Okay? It is expedient for me to go away. If I do not go away, the helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Now, just a couple of observations. Okay, those of you who are in discipleship, listen carefully. Yeah. A couple of observations. Number one, Jesus is leaving and he's saying that it is to your advantage that I'm leaving. Now, wait a minute. What could be better than having Jesus next to you? Jesus is saying having Paracletos with you and in you. Especially in this hostile and hating world. Isn't that amazing? Do you think like that? Do you think like that? Do you believe that? It's better that Jesus goes away so that the Paracletos and Holy Spirit is with me. Is he that important to you? Okay. And then he said, another observation is, if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send it to you. What does that mean? He's basically saying, if I don't go away, I don't go to the cross. If I don't go to the cross, your sin will not be atoned. Okay? If I don't go to the cross and resurrected, there is no Christians. There is no Holy Spirit coming to you. In other words, nothing will happen. If I don't go away, there is no salvation, no atonement, no Christianity, no church, nothing. It is better for me to go away, death and resurrection, and then go to the Father. Then I will send the Holy Spirit to you, to the believers. That's what he's saying. And then finally, we want to get to today's text that we wanted to get to, verse 8. When he comes, he will convict you, convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Can we just pause for a second? If you could just look at me. Is this kind of topic you talk about? Sin, righteousness, and judgment. But that's why Holy Spirit speaks to you. Without it, there is no Christianity. That's how important it is. Okay? What does that mean? He convicts the world. What does that word mean? First of all, I want to talk about that word convict, and I mentioned in the beginning, helenkai, Greek word, has two very kind of like different meaning, but one is to convict, the other one is to convince. Very different, isn't it? One is to convict. He convicts you and he convinces you. Okay? One, convict is to pronounce, to declare that you are guilty before God. What happens when you're called guilty? Judgment. Judgment. Right? That's what the Holy Spirit does. So it has that judicial, prosecuting tone to it. Wow, that's terrible. No, it's not. That's the love of God. Okay? Without it, you will never put your trust in Him. You're not going to trust in Him. The other meaning is convince, to show you that need, so that He summons you to repentance. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Let me explain word convict, and that word shows up in Book of Jude, which is only one chapter book in the New Testament, right before the Revelation. And the context is when Jesus comes back, there's going to be a final judgment, and this is what's going to happen. Okay? Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of His holy ones to execute judgment on all, to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly ways, and all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against them. And what is that judgment about? Jesus convicting you, helenkai you, so that you'll be thrown into judgment. That's the meaning of the word. Wow. That's the final judgment. But the work of Holy Spirit is helenkai now. Now, do you get the sense? Would you rather be convicted helenkai at the end? Or would you rather be helenkai and convicted now? Okay? The second sense is obviously the sense of convince. There is a God's gracious, convincing call, summoning His people. That's what He's doing now. Just like Lydia from Acts chapter 16. You know, so that you begin to pay attention. You begin to, Word of God is speaking to your heart, to your life. Right? That's the work of Holy Spirit. What happens, right, when the work of Holy Spirit really began to convince and convict? Something wonderful will begin to happen. So which is it? Is it conviction or convincing work of helenkai Holy Spirit does? You know what? Both. Both. Okay? And what happens when you are really convicted and convinced to repentance? That's exactly what we see in Acts chapter 2 when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Do you remember Jesus' preaching? I was reading this week and I was amazed, because last time I remember Peter is John chapter 21. And he was very, very unsure. And then next time you see Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost, and you got to read that chapter again. Oh man, he's a different person. He understands the scripture. When he preached about what happened about Jesus and resurrection, about coming of the Holy Spirit, what happened? People were cut to the heart. Cut to the heart. And they were asking Peter and the disciples, what do I do? What must I do to be saved? That's the work of Holy Spirit. Okay? That's the work of Holy Spirit. What is the conviction of sin? I don't know whether you ever experienced it. Okay? What is the conviction of sin? And I want to share what Robert McChaney, 19th century Scottish preacher, shared, which really, really defines it such a sweet way. Okay? Here's what he said. Okay? What is the conviction of sin? He wrote, it is a just sense of the dreadfulness of sin. I want to just pause, okay? Don't continue yet. It is the just sense of the dreadfulness of sin. What does that word mean? Overwhelming heaviness, fear, and awareness of sin. Has it ever happened to you? I'm really asking you this question. Okay? Has it ever experienced, have you ever experienced the dreadfulness of sin? It is the just sense of the dreadfulness of sin. It is not a mere knowledge that you have many sins, that God's anger is revealed against them all. But it is a heart feeling that we are under sin. You're swimming in sin. You're drowning in sin, and you will surely die in sin. And you're going to drown forever. That kind of awareness. It is felt only by the children of God, he wrote. But it is the feeling of the dreadfulness of sin, of the dishonor it does so to God, and of the wrath to which it exposes the soul. Oh, brethren, he wrote, listen. Oh, brethren, conviction of sin is no slight natural work upon the heart. It is not a small work. Don't be cheated. He wrote, there is a great difference between knowing a thing and having a just sense of it. There's a great difference between knowing the vinegar is sour, actually tasting and feeling that it is sour. You feel that, right? There's a great difference between knowing that fire will burn you and actually being pain, and being in the pain of the being burned. That's two different things, isn't it? Just in the same way, there is all the difference in the world between knowing the dreadfulness of your sins and feeling the dreadfulness of your sins. You know, I was reading this week, and I shared already with the discipleship group, and I was just, wow, this is so profound and good. Have you ever experienced the conviction of sin? That's the work of Paracletos. That's the work of Holy Spirit to bring you life. That's the gate that needs to be opened. That's the first incision, if you will. The surgeon has to cut open your heart, if you will. Do you understand that? Until Holy Spirit opens your heart and allow you to see what you need to see, will you put your trust in Christ? Right? Why is this conviction of sin so crucial? Because if you don't see and know your sin, then you do not know your need. You don't. If you don't know your need, you will never find Christ. You will not. That's why Holy Spirit's work is to convict sin and convinces you to the righteousness, right? So it is the work and divine work of Paracletos, Holy Spirit, to lay bare your heart, to convict your sin, to make you feel sick to your stomach, okay, about your sin. And it is the love of God. That is the love of God. Okay. God-hating, hostile lump of clay you are and I am, that we come to know Christ. It's God's great grace, love amazing, that the person of Paracletos speaking to you and convicting you. Okay? How about, what is the principle? What principle? By what principle does God and Holy Spirit convict his people? Two things. Number one, McChaney says, by the law. And second, by the gospel. And it's amazing. All our lives, we live to be righteous. All our lives, that's all we do. We try to build our own righteousness. Presentable. You want other people to like you, accept you, and right before others. And hopefully before God too. That's what you do. All our lives, that's what we do. Right? But Holy Spirit convicts of only one righteousness, that's Christ. That's exactly what it does. How does he do that? Through the law. What is the law? Law is the command of God because of his love. Basically sum up in two things. Romans says to love God and to love his people. If you hear the word law, you may think, oh, that's so distant from me. But think of 10 commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. No other God before me. Right? But what the Holy Spirit does is, when he opens your eyes, when he brings ministry to your soul, you begin to realize, wait a minute, I cannot keep up with any of them. Not that I could keep up with all of them, And I have trouble with one or two, but you realize I don't have any ability to obey any one of them. Okay? Not only that, Romans Gospel says, not only I can't do it, but I don't want to do it. Remember that? We talked about this. Sin by nature is very, very rebellious against God, and you do not want to obey God. And Holy Spirit began to convict you. Many of you heard my testimony some years ago. That's how Holy Spirit convicted my sin, with Ten Commandments. I didn't even get to the second one, first one. Basically, Holy Spirit convicting my heart. You are God of your life. You are God of your church. Oh man, that was dreadful. That went on for months, people. And you remember that story, right? That's the work of Holy Spirit. So Galatians says, it is the law that leads, that guides you to Christ. So Holy Spirit ministers to you and convicts you by the principle of the law. But the more powerful conviction of the Paracletos about your sin is through the gospel. Through the gospel. Would you look at this verse? Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning sins, because they do not believe in me. When you are in dreadful sense of sin, Holy Spirit speaks to you through the gospel. He says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever does not obey the Son shall not have life. But the wrath of God or the judgment remains on you. Holy Spirit begins to speak to you. Until then, the gospel doesn't make sense to you. Yeah, of course. But when the Holy Spirit really bring that dreadfulness, awareness, awesomeness of sin upon your soul, then you begin to see the gospel. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Well, I don't believe in him. I don't obey him. Isn't it interesting the way Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever does not obey the Son. Wait. First one is belief, and second is obey. There is no difference. There is no difference, people. If you do not obey the Son, you shall not see life, but the wrath of God and the judgment of God remains on you. Parakletos, open your eyes to the dreadfulness of your sin. Okay, that's the work of Holy Spirit. Seeing and leading to the Savior, righteousness. You're realizing all your life, you're trying to build your own righteousness. You want your righteousness through your children. See how wonderful parent he is or she is. He could dance and he could do taekwondo and he could, I don't know, you know. And you try to build your body so that you'll be presentable. People will like you. You look right before other people. And you go to the gym 5-6 times a week. Building your own righteousness. But when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, no. All you got is a filthy rag. Filthy rag. Right? That's the work of Parakletos. Parakletos opens your eyes to dreadfulness and the greatness of your own sin and leading to Christ. Leading to Christ. The second thing the Holy Spirit does is the second thing, verse 10. Okay, he convicts sin, righteousness, and judgment. And concerning the righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. What does that mean? What in the world does that mean, right? Holy Spirit testifies and glorifies Christ by convicting you about the righteousness you do not have, which we try so hard, but really pointing to the only righteousness, and that is because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. What does that mean? Okay, basically this is what it means. The righteousness that Parakletos convicts and witnesses and convinces you is Jesus, who is sitting on the throne. Now, wait a minute. Jesus came as a Lamb of God, right? And he went to the cross. And what did he do there? He basically bore your sin. And he took the wrath and judgment of God, the just judgment of God. And if that's not taken care of, he would just die. And he paid for the penalty and the price and or the ransom, if you will, for the penalty of God's judgment, and he died. Right? Isn't that what he did? And then it brought you righteousness. How did that happen? If you believe in the gospel, if you believe in the teaching of the scripture, at the cross a great exchange took place. Listen to me, just in case you do not know. Jesus went to the cross, sinless, and he bore the sin of the world. Everything was imputed upon him. And if you put your trust in him, every righteousness, all of righteousness of Christ was imputed upon you. Great exchange. And he vicariously, as your substitute, he paid the penalty and died. And your sin is atoned. What's the proof? Is there a proof? Yes, there is. You know what the proof is? Romans chapter 4, verse 25, his resurrection. And here's the reasoning. Please listen carefully because there's a reasoning to it. Son of God went to the cross and bore the sin of the world and he died. And sin has been propitiated. In other words, all the requirement of God's justice and judgment has been taken care of. So there is no more sin, but he's dead. But God cannot keep his son, sinless son, dead. So he raised him, which means what? Sin has been taken care of. Your sin has been taken care of. His resurrection is the proof that your sin is taken care of. His resurrection is the proof that you are righteous in the sight of God. That's the proof. And so he was raised and he went to the Father, and he was glorified and seated on the right hand of God in holiness as the great priest. Remember that? Jesus came as the Lamb. He's our great priest. He's the sacrificial system, replacing the old. He's everything. Jesus is everything. He's the Lamb and he's the priest. It is his blood. It is his death once and for all. Once and for all satisfied the demand of the law. Taken care of. And he was raised. That's why he's sitting on the throne, right hand of God, as our great high priest. Do you understand that? That's what Holy Spirit testifies to you, convicts you. Your righteousness is filthy rags. There is only one righteousness. And because, where is that? Because I go to the Father and you will see no more. He's my righteousness. He's the only righteousness. He is the holy righteousness. He's the infinite righteousness. There's no one could claim that, other than the ones who put their faith in him. And that is the work of Paracletus. But without conviction of sin, you will never believe that. You will continue to build your own righteousness, standing on sinking sand. I mean, we sense it now, don't we? Right? During this pandemic. I mean, New York is pretty good right now. But do you remember a couple months ago, March, April? Everything was shaken, wasn't it? Your future, your career, your money, your bank account. What does that all mean? Attendance, what does that all mean? What does that all mean? Holy Spirit convicts the righteousness, and Jesus is the righteousness, and he's the only righteousness that he testifies and glorifies as he convicts of your sinfulness. Dreadfulness of your sin. Okay. Lastly, Paracletos convicts concerning judgment. Okay. He brings judgment to the reality. That's what Holy Spirit does. Do you believe in judgment? I'm going to ask you, this time, would you answer me? Do you believe in judgment? Would you say amen? Those of you who do not, Holy Spirit brings it to reality. That's what the Holy Spirit does. What happened at the cross? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, discipleship group, okay? Since therefore children share in the flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same thing, talking about Christ, that through the death of Christ himself, the cross, listen, he might destroy or vanquish the one who has the power over death. Who's that? The devil, Satan. And deliver all those who, through the fear of death, were subject to lifelong slavery. Who's that? All of you. All of us. So what did he do? Through the cross, at the cross, he destroyed the one. He destroyed the prince of this world, right? Right there. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. In other words, devil has been destroyed and vanquished. Sin and death and devil has been destroyed and demolished and abolished through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. You know who convicts that? Who testifies that? Paracletus. It's amazing. I really sense the one of the most important imperative in the Bible is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because without it, you're not even going to think about loving the Lord. You're not even thinking about doing the Great Commission. You're not even thinking about other lost people. It does not come across your mind without the Holy Spirit. Satan, devil, has been judged and condemned on the cross. Revelation chapter 20 is the final judgment, the white throne judgment, and the Satan and his followers. Now listen, who are Satan's followers? Those who do not follow Christ. Okay? Satan and his followers will be thrown into the lake of fire forever. That's what the scripture speaks, and Paracletus will testify to you. Okay, I want to just close. Paracletus' work is amazing work. Can you imagine a church that there is no Paracletus' work? There is no conversion. There is no sanctification. There is no new life. No one is being born again. Can you imagine a church without work of Paracletus? Is there such church? According to Revelations, there is. There is. Paracletus is the Spirit of Christ. Paracletus wrote the scripture. He is the author of the scripture. Inspiration of the Holy Spirit. All scripture is God-breathed. Okay? Unless the scripture and Christ is preached, how in the world will Paracletus do his work? Right? Paracletus is the life of God ministering to his children. Can I just ask you, do not have to answer this loudly, but I do want to ask you, do you know Holy Spirit? Do you walk with the Holy Spirit? Do you know the Holy Spirit? Do you walk with the Holy Spirit? Because without him, there's a great possibility that you still are lost. Have you ever experienced that conviction of sin? Just sins of the dreadfulness of sin? Or are you wallowing in sin right now? It's the work of Holy Spirit. It's the work of Paracletus. Convict you and convince you to summon you to repentance. Without it, you'll leave again. Okay, I get it. No, that's not work of Paracletus. When the Holy Spirit convicts, there's something wonderful happens. Because without that work of Paracletos, you will never look to Christ. That's not my righteousness. You're building your own righteousness. And you're going to try everything possible to convince others that that is my righteousness. In fact, instead of you'll be cut to the heart, what's going to happen is what happened in Acts chapter 7. Do you remember when Stephen preached? Very similar sermon. Very similar sermon. Stephen preached. And what happened? Instead of they were cut to the heart, they were enraged. And what did they do? They killed the preacher. Do you remember that? Robert McChaney shares something wonderful. I was just so encouraged. Because Holy Spirit is, nowhere in the scripture, Holy Spirit is harsh. Holy Spirit is like mean. He's always, the sign is a dove and gentle and loving. Yes, absolutely. But his work is doing the convicting of sin. And his argument is, if that's the work of Holy Spirit, shouldn't the preacher do the same thing? Amen. I'm going to say amen. Shouldn't the preacher do the same thing? Absolutely, people. Oh, you guys are so wonderful. You came to church during the lockdown. You're better than 99% of the people out there. Better. Should I preach that? That'll kill you. That'll surely kill you. That'll kill me. Forever. We can't do that. I think Robert McChaney is absolutely correct. And I'm so convinced that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the ministry of the church. Convicting you of sin. Until then, Christ is not your righteousness. Your life is your own righteousness. I want to just close with this thought. There are only two judgments Holy Spirit convicts. One is at the end, the final judgment, white throne judgment. One, the other is judgment of the cross. They're both judgment, God's judgment. And you're going to have to participate. For those who do not participate in the judgment of the cross, the final judgment, when Christ will elen kai all your ungodly deeds and actions and words, and you'll be convicted. You'll be elen kai. You'll be convicted at the end. And you will have final judgment accordingly. That's what the scripture teaches. The other judgment the Holy Spirit convicts is the judgment of the cross. Jesus was, he took the judgment of God upon himself. Why? Not for himself, but for you. For you. Vicariously. Impute. He bore all of your filth. And he paid the penalty. He paid the ransom. And he took the just wrath of God upon himself and propitiated once and for all. And that's the judgment Holy Spirit convicts to his children. And my prayer is, really, my prayer is, only two categories of people. For those who do not know Christ and Holy Spirit, I pray that you will turn and come to repentance. Second category of people, those of you who are walking with the Holy Spirit, know Jesus, you will fall in love with Christ. I want to obey him. I want to obey him. I want to live for him. There's nothing else comes even close. There is no second. There is no third. There is no fourth. Jesus number one. Jesus number one. There is no second. Marriage is not second. There is no third. There's a huge chasm between Jesus and the rest. That's what's going to happen when the Holy Spirit, Paracletos, speaks to his children. And my prayer is that you will fall in deeper and deeper love and desire to obey him.